Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are so glad you've joined us today, and we are live right here in the station, and it's Resurrection Day, Nan Woo-hoo! And Alice.
Yes, it is.
And we've had a great day already at Beacon of Hope. I'm glad to be back with you live. I was gone last Sunday taking care of my family. We were in Orlando for my granddaughter's big competition cheerleading, and it was fantastic, but I missed you all. And so glad to be back.
We miss you too.
Yeah, it's always, you know, it's always hard for me to be gone every time. And I'm not gone very much, but it's always hard, and I'm always glad to be back. So back in this chair where I belong. So it's going to be a great day. It's Resurrection Day, Alice.
Yay!
And, oh, isn't it cool to just know that our risen Lord is celebrated every year at this time. It's just, it's a joy, isn't it?
It is, because it's a great reminder of just our, you know, some of our basic foundations of our beliefs.
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, if it wasn't for Jesus being alive,
right,
we wouldn't be sitting around this table right now.
We wouldn't have anything to be celebrating, right? If he were just a good teacher, and there are so many good teachers out there that have gone on and passed on into eternity, but Jesus was not just a good teacher.
No, and not only that, but yes, he died, but he rose again.
Amen.
And he is still alive today.
Yes. And that is just what is so completely wonderful and amazing about our resurrection story. It is just so dynamic. Nan, isn't it fun to be celebrating this today? Did we have fun at Beacon of Hope this morning?
Oh, we had fun at Beacon of Hope this morning.
What about that music, Nan? It's just like getting better and better,
isn't it? It's just getting, I mean, just when you, it's like they can't get any better. They top it.
They top it.
They top
it.
Every Sunday they're just topping it. It's just.
What a wild praise band.
It's just. And they flow so well together.
Yes.
To get that many people together in a group. You know, I know that they're now putting in a lot of practice, more so than before. I
mean,
they're putting in a lot before, but it's showing through in the unity. They're like one unit up there. You can see it. Just one total unit. They're all blended well together.
Isn't that great?
It's great.
It really is. And Alice, you're part of that. You're part of that praise team. You
have a biased opinion.
Biased opinion? What is your biased opinion there?
I completely agree. You know, the extra time that we're putting in with the practices, you know, we're meeting once a month on Saturdays to practice a good part of the day on Saturdays, and it's really paying off, and I think God is really rewarding us for the effort
absolutely.
That we're putting in.
You know, and in the work of the Lord, so often people, it's been my experience being in the ministry all my life, really, growing up as a preacher's kid and an evangelist kid and missionary's kid and all that stuff, and then eventually becoming a pastor myself, that I see so many people who don't take the time in the ministry to do an excellent job.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They just do it part way. And we at Beacon of Hope, we are all into doing it to the utmost of our ability. You know what I'm saying, Ann?
I know what you're saying. Like I said, that practice pays off. I mean, they're good. They're good.
Yeah.
But before you guys start doing this extra time on Saturdays, it was good. Now it's going past a level of that, and it's God is honoring. You know, those people take it. All those praise people are taking of their time on a Saturday when they'd be doing something else together in unity, practicing and discussing things and moving forward with things and new ideas and
new songs.
Just going.
And what it does is it stirs the anointing. You know, when you do an excellent job at whatever you do, like today, we're going to do an excellent job today on this radio show. How do I know that? Because our heart's in it. We are here because we want to be here.
Right.
We are here because we're excited to talk about the mercies of God, the blessings of God, the amazing resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And it is, we are excited to be here. We look forward to it. And when you come with that kind of an attitude into the house of the Lord, what happens? What changes? What goes on, Alice? Talk to me.
I think when you walk into church with an attitude of wanting to learn and wanting to do your best and wanting to be all that you can be through Christ,
yes,
God gives you some really great aha moments.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
tell them what an aha moment is. Cedric's sitting there in the engineer booth and he's wanting to know, what is an aha moment?
An aha moment is when you're sitting there and perhaps you're listening to a sermon, right?
Right.
And normally you're like, okay, well, you know, let me doodle on my page here, you know, or whatever.
Right.
But when you really start paying attention and you start like taking notes,
right?
These concepts and ideas pop out at you that you can take with you onto your daily life.
Absolutely.
Something that you can take to work with you on Monday.
Right.
And you know, actually live what God has, you know, asked you to do through his word. Because you get these little nuggets of information. You're like, oh, I never looked at that way.
Right.
And, you know, that's something I can take with me and apply to my everyday life.
That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And that's what this show is all about. And that's why we're so excited about the word of God. Because Beacon, our slogan has been since we began, which is almost 11 years ago now, where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And I believe it says it on the back of all of our Easter egg shirts today that we have on. We have orange, blue, lavender, and bright green, and they're all of our Beacon shirts. So we're, those of you watching us by video around the world, that we have on Beacon shirts today. And we look like little Easter eggs.
And we didn't plan this.
And we didn't even plan it. We look like Easter eggs. How about that? So anyway, but it's all about enjoying the presence of the Lord to the point that we're excited about it. And we can't wait to talk about it. And that's why we're here today, Nan.
I can remember times when, you know, there's a song that says, I will enter gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise.
Right.
It's an old song. There's some Sundays that I'm like singing that. I come from Tampa. I'm singing it in the car all the way across the bridge, coming down the interstate, coming down Almerton. And I mean, by the time I hit that church, I've already been communing and talking to God and praising his name.
Yes.
And it just, the praise flows much more freely. It's like, I don't have to get worked. We don't get worked up into a praise, but we, you know, as we pray and praise and praise and praise and praise, it's like, I come in there praising already. Excited.
Oh, absolutely. You're ready. So we're ready today to see what God's going to do. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you from the bottom of our hearts for this opportunity. We don't take it lightly. It's a joy. It's a privilege. It's a blessing to be able to be on the air every single Sunday live at this time. So Lord, we just come before you with humble hearts. And we say, use us today to help someone else be enlightened, be taught, be encouraged to receive more peace, comfort, joy, whatever they need in their lives. Lord, let today be a groundbreaking special event for our listeners that listen today or sometime later on our website. And so, God, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And amen. We're excited about this. Ooh, and if you have your internet up, and a lot of you do listen and watch the show through the internet versus the 1340 AM on the radio. And by the way, if you're on the radio and want to change over to the internet, it's tantalk1340.com, www.tantalk1340.com. And you can actually email us during the show, comment, give us a comment or a question or anything, or just say, hey, hi, how are you? And that's great, too. Or you can say, go Rays, because when I left the TV a few minutes ago, they were doing quite well. So I'm not sure where we are right now, Cedric, but he'll check for me. Good. Thank God. All right. I've got somebody that's going to check on my Rays for me. So anyway, let's listen to this first song by Larnell Harris and Sandy Patty. I've Just Seen Jesus. I love this song.
That's a good one.
We knew he was dead. It is finished, he said. We had watched as his life ebbed away.
Then we all stood around till the guards took him down. Joseph begged for his body that day.
It was late afternoon when we got to the tomb, wrapped his body and sealed up the grave.
So I know how you feel. His death was so real. But please listen and hear what I say.
I just see.
Praise God. Those are the words of Mary Magdalene. I've just seen Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 20 and let's read those words. They are a familiar story here. John chapter 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, and we know that Jesus came out of the tomb sometime after sunset on Saturday. because he was actually on the cross on Wednesday, and we'll go back and talk about that in a little while. But this now is sometime between Saturday night, 6 p.m., and sometime before sunrise in the middle of the night. So in the first day of the week, the Sunday, Mary Magdalene, and we know a lot about her, and I'm going to come back and talk to you two about her in a minute, went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, and that one is John, who wrote this account. He was one of those that she ran to. She ran to Peter, and she ran to John. And it says right here that this is the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. And she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him." What was her supposition? Let's put it that way at this point, Alice. What do you think was going on there?
Well, they thought, she thought that the body had been stolen.
Right.
I think that she really felt that the perhaps the Romans had, or the Sanhedrin or whoever had stolen
Absolutely.
Jesus' body.
Yeah. And so she was very upset because she went to the tomb and he's gone.
Yeah, that's her loved one. That's her the only family she knew, basically.
Right. Yeah, Mary Magdalene had a rough life. What do we know about Mary Magdalene? Nan, do you know much about her?
No, she didn't live a real wholesome life.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Is that a good way of putting it, Pastor?
That's a good way of putting it. And she had, she had a lot of issues in her life. And yet she found Jesus and met the Master, and her life was totally changed. And from the moment she met Jesus, just like that song that we just did, "I've Just Seen Jesus," from the moment Mary Magdalene saw Jesus, her life was forever changed.
Right.
You know,
that's the way it is. When we have seen Jesus, the change that occurs in our life is pretty drastic sometimes.
It's drastic.
You know, it's drastic. I mean, sometimes, you know, some people who find Christ have just lived very moral lives, but then they find Jesus, their life does change. And for other people who've done lots of other things in their life, it's more dramatic in theirs, but it's no less powerful in either one.
And Mary Magdalene, it was a dramatic change for her from her former lifestyle. And so Peter and the other disciples, I'm in verse 3, started for the tomb. And now they're running because why would they be running? Why would they be running? They're concerned. Where's the body, right?
I mean, think about it. You know, if somebody that you love and care about has been buried and then you go to visit their grave and it's empty.
It's empty.
You know, you would go tell someone and they would go running too, you know.
I think so. Okay, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Some people say maybe John was younger. Maybe he was. Probably was. But at any rate, John got there first.
Right.
Okay? He bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen that were lying there but did not go in. I find that interesting. He kind of stood back and kind of watched from a distance. And, you know, I think a lot of times, a lot of us sit back and kind of watch the move of God, you know, around us, perhaps in a service. We have wild services of Beacon of Hope. I got to admit, they are fantastic, wonderful moves of God. And I think sometimes people will kind of sit back and kind of like watch and test the waters a little bit. Are they going to be jumping on the pews? No, we have no pews. We have chairs. So that's why we don't.
And we don't jump on chairs.
We don't jump on chairs either. But, you know, sometimes when we are so thrilled to be in the presence of God, we are lifting our hands. We are praising God. Not sometimes, every time.
Right.
We are shouting his praises. We are excited to be in the house of the Lord. You know, all of that. And interesting. And there are people that walk in and they're just kind of bending over looking and just seeing, okay, what's going on here?
Right.
You know? And that's
just,
okay.
Just kind of peeping in the door.
Peeping in the door. Let's see what's going on. And that's what John did. Then Simon Peter, and that's in verse 6, I believe. Mm-hmm. Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. Now, Peter, it's interesting. He goes into the tomb. John stands at kind of outside, kind of peers in, you know, like, let me take this in. You know, different personalities. Isn't it interesting?
Right.
And Peter, it was that kind of personality who was aggressive, wasn't he?
He rushed right in.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean,
he had just done it, you know, what, a couple nights before when they were in the garden. He rushed right in with the sword, you know.
And cut off the ear.
Right.
And he had also denied Jesus three times.
Mm-hmm.
that night of the Inquisition, which was actually Tuesday night, that all that was going on, where they had Jesus up before Pilate, and they were trying to decide what was going to happen to him. And Peter was asked three times, was Jesus told him earlier in the Passover meal that's going to happen? He, oh, no, Lord, I would never deny you. But I find this is interesting about Peter, because Peter had convictions, and he had, but yet there was that side of Peter that is so much like a lot of us that's fearful. That's like, I'm not sure about this. You know, let me watch. But I find this interesting. After he's denied Jesus, and you know he's repented of all of that, here he is. He goes right into the tomb.
Right.
You know, he's aggressively just going right in there. And he arrives, goes in, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. And it was all very neat and in order. It's like Jesus didn't have to be unwound, Nan, did he?
No, he didn't.
Although we studied a couple Wednesday nights ago that Lazarus had to be unwound.
Right.
You know, because he was still in that earthly realm. But now when Jesus was resurrected, he went into his spiritual body, which is amazing. So he could just slip right out of it, you know, like, all right, you know.
Well, I think it's cool he kind of left everything nice and neat.
Yeah, isn't he? He was organized. He didn't leave his laundry in a pile on the floor like teenagers I know do. And no, he was just neat. Let's just slip right out of there, you know. Kind of cool, isn't it? So there he saw. Now, I find this really cool. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. So that's John. So John's kind of standing back, and he's watching what Peter's doing. Comment on that.
That would probably be something I would do.
You'd be more of a John in this?
I would probably, even if I got there first, I would wait until I had backup.
Call in the backup, right?
But, you know, if someone else wants to go in first, you guys go right ahead. I'm going to kind of see and make sure you don't get blasted down before I step in there.
Right.
You know, so I think John was hanging back. I don't know if he was unsure of what was going on or didn't have confidence in himself or what, but he was just kind of hanging back and observing, wanting to see what's going on, wanting to take in the big picture, where Peter, he just runs right in and, you know, he wants to know himself. You know, he wants to see
absolutely.
For himself. So
I love that. Don't you notice, though, there are differences in personalities? And is that okay with God, Nan? That there are differences.
Is, yes.
You and Alice, for instance, are very different people and very different personalities. But yet you guys are good friends,
right.
And you compliment each other when you're on the radio together. You're great. You compliment each other, but you're like, you're different. You're
right.
Different personalities. And God loves that, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. I mean, I was sitting here thinking I would be Peter, go rushing in, you know.
Yeah, you would.
Would be. I was sitting there thinking that too.
I'd be John sitting back. Going,
okay,
Dan, why don't you go first?
You make a great team. There you go.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so here they go. All right. So they're in there, and here's the verse I want to point out. It's the end of verse 8. He saw and believed. He saw and believed. Okay. This song we just did. Larnell Harris and Sandy Patty, I've just seen Jesus. You're going to see in a minute that even though Mary Magdalene at this point doesn't realize where Jesus is, when she finally sees him in all his glory, you know, she believes. Mm-hmm. And it's the same here with John and Peter. They see, okay, wait a minute, he's gone. Oh, yeah. Do you remember, Peter, how he always said that he was going to rise again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was not a secret.
Oh, no. No, it wasn't. I mean, this was something that Jesus had talked about. And maybe people didn't fully understand what he was talking about when it happened. You know, he talked about, you know, this temple will be down in the 3 days. It'll be risen, you know.
Right.
And a lot of people thought that he was talking about the actual temple.
Exactly.
The brick and mortar temple.
Right.
But he was talking about himself.
Exactly.
And it may have been that, you know, at that point that Peter had one of those aha moments, you know.
There you go, Alice.
And he's like, this is what Jesus was talking about.
Right.
This is what was in that sermon I was hearing, you know.
Exactly.
And it became real to him.
Do you remember back earlier in the book of John where Jesus says to the disciples one day, who do they say I am? Who do they say? You remember?
Yeah.
And some of them spoke up, and one of them said, well, they say you're Elijah. One of them says, well, they think you're John the Baptist. And another one spoke up and said, they think you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus looked at them and said, who do you say that I am? Mm-hmm. And it was Peter who spoke up and said, you are the Christ, mm-hmm. the Son of the living God.
Right.
Peter got it.
Yes.
He knew it. So for him to be the first one to rush in there into the tomb, I find totally natural.
You said he got it, and then he was first one coming in. He's perfectly natural. It's what I thought of was the times he denied Christ three times.
Exactly.
And sometimes we recognize Christ for who he is. We accept him as our Savior. We mess up. And you've taught on this many times,
yes.
About beating ourselves up,
right?
You know, just ask forgiveness and go bebopping along, you know, and that's what you need to do. Sorry.
Bebopping. Yeah, go bebopping along. I think I probably used that phrase.
That part you didn't use, but but I mean he still then was the one who went in
right.
first and saw it, and is symbolic of how God can continue to use us after we've had an encounter with Jesus Christ.
Oh, man, that's so excellent, because that's exactly the point here. Here, just, what, 2-3 days before, Peter is the one, the only one, that denies Jesus.
Right.
And he denies him not once, not twice, but three times.
Right.
Peter goes, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know anything to do with that guy. I have nothing to do with that guy. And yet, it is so cool that Peter's the one who's the first to rush into the tomb.
And the first one to realize what was happening and believe it.
And it says, and he saw and believed.
Right.
He saw and believed.
Mm-hmm.
And oh. Now, the next verse, though, says, they still did not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So he believed, but yet they didn't get the whole picture yet.
Right.
They were a little cloudy on the details. Where is he now? Come on, you know, where is he? Verse 10 of John chapter 20, then the disciples went back to their homes. I don't know. Do you just drop what you're doing there in that amazing moment and just go back home?
They did.
Well, if you think about it, it wasn't very safe for them to be out in the street.
And maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were the accused of being the, you know.
They hung out with that rebel rouser.
You know? That rebel rouser Jesus. Yeah. But interesting, the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. That's Mary Magdalene that we're talking about. She stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And now we have something very interesting. Something's happened here, because there is no account of the angels up here with Peter and John.
Right.
What happened here, Alice? What happened?
They appeared.
So the angels were probably there in incognito, I believe. Probably in their see-through clearness. And
their cloaking device?
Their cloaking device.
Oh my God, Alice, that's good.
I believe they were there, but now they allow Mary Magdalene.
Of all people.
Not Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Blessed Mother. Not any other Mary. Mary Magdalene.
That woman.
That woman to be the first one to see these angels. How cool is that?
That is totally cool. Because if you think about it, Mary Magdalene was a woman of ill repute.
Ill repute.
You know, she did not have a good track record.
No.
As far as the, you know, holy group would think. Right?
Right.
And yet she is the person that God chose
right.
to see this miracle.
It's so wonderful.
You know? And that is so encouraging, because, you know,
it is encouraging.
I mean, when I look at my own life, there's stuff in my life I am not really proud of and I really don't want anyone to know about.
Okay.
I know God knows about it.
Right.
And if I were just to concentrate on that stuff.
Right.
I would think that, you know, there's no way God could ever use me.
Right.
There's absolutely no way. Look what I have done.
Right.
You know? And this part right here where that woman who, you know, really messed up in
right.
her life.
Sure.
God has, I mean, this is evidence right here, that God has forgiven her.
Totally. And, you know, I never know how the sermons are going to go. And this morning I had no clue that God was going to take that track of this sermon into that about the old tapes in our lives, right, and in the past and the things. I had no idea it was that was coming. It just, there it was. But that is so apropos right here for right. the Mary Magdalene part of this story, because here God proves to us mm-hmm. that no matter what our past, no matter what our present, he loves us. And especially, he wants us to understand that he wants to reveal himself to us.
Right.
He wants to show us who he really is. Mm-hmm. You know, because at this point, the angels are in there and they said, "Woman, why are you crying? What's making you sad here?" You know, and she is saying, "They've taken my Lord away because I don't know where they put him." She did not comprehend that he was the risen Lord.
Right.
Okay, she did not. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. Now, I could preach a whole sermon on that and thought I was going to today and didn't, but that whole concept of there are so many times in our lives that Jesus is right there.
And we can't see him.
We don't see him.
Yeah.
Why?
We don't
Why is that?
We don't recognize him for who he is. I think it's because we're so wrapped up in what's going on in our day-to-day type life
right.
that we don't stop to look for him
right.
and see him when he's there.
Yes, because we're just involved in mm-hmm. our own little microcosm of, I don't know if that's the right word, but, you know, Nan's going, what?
No, that's
that
a great word. Pastor, I love
yeah,
it.
All right, you know, our own little, you know, my nitty-gritty stuff, you
right.
know?
Right.
Well, sometimes I don't think we don't look past. And basically, this is what Alice was saying. We don't look past our stuff.
It's exactly right.
Sometimes we get kind of caught up in our stuff.
Absolutely.
And we don't look for him.
No.
I do that at times. I don't mean to. I do, obviously. I don't necessarily mean to, but I do. You know, then you just kind of recognize and the Lord will check you and you'll realize, oops.
You come back.
Yeah. One of the things, Pastor, that I've heard you say a number of times is that, you know, if you have a dime, and you hold, you know, close mm-hmm. one eye and hold that dime up to your other eye, all you're going to see is the dime.
Exactly.
But as you pull the dime away, and you can, even with the one eye closed and one eye open, you can see suddenly that that dime is actually quite small compared to everything else around.
Exactly.
So when we focus on our issues and what we're going through at this particular moment in time, we're not going to see the big picture of what God is doing.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what Mary Magdalene was going through at that time. She was so wrapped up in her grief
right.
and her worry
right.
and her concern that Jesus' body is not here where it's
right.
supposed to be.
Exactly.
And she, you know, she was so wrapped up in that that she didn't see him standing right next to
right
her.
Right there.
Yeah.
It was just, And she didn't realize it was Jesus. So the verse that we're on now, we're in John 20, if you just joined us, is verse 15. And so Jesus says to Mary Magdalene, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Go ahead, Nan, read that next verse, verse 15, there we or the rest of 15.
Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?"
Oh, King James, whom seekest thou? All right.
Okay,
weepest thou?
Right. Or who do you seek for? No,
no, that's okay. Okay. No, go ahead. Read it the way you have it.
She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away."
Okay, in English, that was, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I'll go get him."
Oh, is that what that said?
Yeah, that's what that said, you know? And but, oh, wow, I love this next verse, 16 of John 20. Jesus says to her, "Mary."
He called her by name.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. This whole concept right there is so huge because until we allow our relationship with the Lord Jesus to be personal, not just something we've read about in a book, but something we've experienced, and we've been really hitting this hard lately at Beacon of Hope. We've been talking about learning to hear the voice of God, and we're not done with that subject, evidently. And learning to develop that give and take relationship. When he called her name, suddenly she knew who he was.
Right.
Want to talk about that, Nan?
Well, I won't say in the King James Version, you said what you're reading there referred to him as teacher.
Teacher.
King James Version says master.
Master.
And, I mean, we, as we continue with our walk with the Lord, we are more sensitive and can hear him speaking to us more. We know
Absolutely.
He's our master talking to us.
Right.
And not just thoughts coming our way or whatever, but we know it's coming from him.
So what you're saying is that because she had spent time getting to know Jesus, when he called her name, she recognized his voice. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Very well done.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right. So she recognized his voice. And Alice, that's where we got to get to. We got to understand that God is wanting to speak to us.
Right. And you know, this brings back something that I tend to hit on is that, you know, if we don't have communication with God, if we don't develop that relationship, we are not going to recognize his voice
when
he speaks to us.
That's exactly
That's why it's so important to develop that relationship. And that relationship means that, you know, you're going to have conversations back and forth. You need to talk to God and God can talk to you.
Absolutely. Not always easy.
No.
Well, the more that he and I commune with each other, and that's based on my initial, you know, the more we commune with each other, the more that I hear him. You know, the more I recognize his voice and know it's him speaking to me, know it's him responding.
Well, it's just like there's a lot of people, including the two of you, that I talk to on the phone, and I don't pick up the phone and go, "Hello, Nan. Good morning. This is Pastor Marcia."
No.
I just start talking.
Know your voice.
You know my voice, don't you?
I know your
and
voice.
And so I don't ever identify myself with either one of you, let's say, right?
Right.
I just start talking. You know, and it's that way. That's the way God wants it to be, that we don't have to come to him in begging and pleading and crying out, "Please, God, hear my voice. Oh, please, God, where are you?" You know, and all that. It doesn't have to be that way, does it, Alice?
No, it doesn't. I think that as you spend time with God, he learns to recognize your voice.
Right.
And he hears you. I believe wholeheartedly in persistent prayer.
Absolutely.
But there's no need to get whiny about it. No, I think.
but what you're saying is it's okay to ask and re-ask and be persistent.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Absolutely. We'll teach on that again sometime.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's like, okay, let's say you're a kid, you know, and you go, you know, "Mom, I want this." And she says no, and you walk away and say, okay. Or maybe she doesn't respond at all because she's on the phone or whatever, you know. And are kids just going to walk away? No.
No.
They're going to be tugging on the shirt. Mom.
Exactly.
Mom. Yeah, so you want to change your name from Mom to
right.
something else, right?
Exactly.
So they're going to be persistent about it until you respond in some way, either yes,
absolutely,
no, not now, whatever the response is. But if, you know, I think you need to be that way with God. You need to
totally.
Be persistent until you get a response. And yeah, sometimes the response is no. Sometimes
right.
the response is not now. Sometimes the response is yes, here.
But it builds that relationship.
Right.
You both know my dog, Zoe Grace, very well, right? My dachshund.
Yeah, she sweetheart. And I had words this morning, in fact.
Yes. And Zoe Grace is just a doll baby, but she is extremely demanding and controlling, this little miniature dachshund.
That red ball, man.
And it's like she's had it now. She's seven. She's had it for probably 6 years. And everybody that walks in the house, she finds her ball, brings the ball to you and expects you to kick it and play and whatever. Because for her, the highlight of her day is playing ball all day long. I mean, that's what she wants to do. And she lets her wishes be known, doesn't
she? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she yaps and yaps until, you know.
You kick the ball.
Yeah. And
then she brings it back.
She brings it back, and you do it again. But, you know, it's okay for us to be persistent with God, like you said.
Oh, definitely.
Because you know that you need to enhance that relationship. And Mary Magdalene was one of the women that followed Jesus around after her conversion, after she understood her sin and believed that Jesus was the Savior of the world, after that point, Mary Magdalene was one of the women that followed Jesus and helped serve him, mm-hmm. helped prepare meals, helped take care of their needs, mm-hmm. the disciples. She was one of those. She hung around with him. So when he called her name Mary, he did not qualify her name and say, Mary, the one who was the awful sinner, who was the woman of ill repute, the woman who has this awful past. He just said, Mary.
Mm-hmm. And she immediately recognized his voice.
Whoa. What do you make of that, Nan?
I like it when I come to him and he'll speak to me and I recognize his voice, you know, and spiritually, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, there's been times he's awakened me at the night for something, and I just think that's so cool. I just think it's cool.
Well, it reminds me of Isaiah 43, so let's go back there for just a second, and let's talk about this, because I love this prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel. There's a difference there between Jacob and Israel. Jacob was called Jacob before he was really changed into that new person when he became Israel, Prince of God. When he was Jacob, he was the one that was the heel supplanter. It meant right. deceiver. And so the one God has created us the way we are, like a Jacob. But then he forms us and we become like an Israel, a prince or a princess of his. And here's what is said right here in verse, I guess we're still in verse 1. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. That applies to us, and it applies to Mary Magdalene. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. In New American Standard, it says, I've called you by name, and you are mine. What does it say in the King James, Nan?
I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine.
Thee and thou art mine. Are you in the message?
I am in the message.
Would you read that?
I've called your name, you're mine.
Yeah, I've called your name, you're mine. Wow. Isn't it cool to know that God knows our name? He knew Mary's name that day. Jesus knew her name. God knows your name right now, dear listener. He knows who you are. He knows everything about you. He knows all the junk of the past. He knows all the stuff of the future. He knows everything that makes you who you are right now. When you pass through the waters, not if. Y'all see that in verse 2 of Isaiah 43? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. What is verse 2 of Isaiah 43 talking about here? And how does it apply to Mary Magdalene, Alice?
Nothing like being put on the spot.
I know I'm putting you on the spot. We don't rehearse any of this, so just let the Holy Spirit lead us.
This is telling me that God knows me, that when I'm going through difficult situations, not if, when, He already knows the situations that I'm going to be going through, and He
Absolutely.
Knows that they will be difficult for me. But He's telling me that I'm not going to be alone through them.
Right.
You know, when the water starts getting deep, He's right there beside me. When it's over my head, He's keeping me afloat.
Right.
You know, so, you know, that's very encouraging to me because it tells me that, okay, yes, these things, there's going to be some rough times ahead.
Right.
They're coming.
Right.
But I'm with you.
Woo.
You're not alone in this.
Amen. Amen, amen. I love that. So He calls
Pastor,
us by name. Go ahead. Yeah, Nan.
I'm in King James, but it's also a reference Bible. Some of the words that was out in the side that leads into other scriptures is fear not, divine presence, promises to afflicted, preservation, and security. But those are all words that kind of came up with
and
that.
They all apply to that. Fear not, because He's our security. He is right there for us. That's fine. And He knows everything we're going through. Oh, praise God. We're going to talk more on the other side of this song, which is a great one by Aaron Schust. It's called Risen Today.
Christ the Lord.
Amen. Great song. Praise God. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are in John chapter 20, and we're talking about the time that Mary Magdalene realizes that Jesus is alive, that he has come out of the tomb, a risen Lord. And we are in verse 16, and Jesus says to her, up to that point in John chapter 20, Mary doesn't realize what's really happened. She thinks they've stole the body of Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, she thinks, you know, all she's aware of is that, you know, the person that she loved, the person she cares about, their body is no longer in the tomb. It's
exactly.
gone. Therefore, someone must have stolen it. Someone must have taken it. Where is it?
Right.
She's all wrapped up in this worry.
And she's wrapped up in the worry, and then he simply calls her by name, Mary.
Mary.
He doesn't issue this long discourse and proof and all this. He just says, Mary.
Right.
And she immediately knows his voice.
Yeah.
And that's the point today, guys. Out there, wherever you are, we got to get so in tune with the Lord Jesus in our personal lives as we talk to him and have that relationship with him, that when he calls our name, when he's trying to get our attention, that we understand his voice.
Right, right.
You know, we're a technologically, abundant technology these days, right?
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times people don't talk with voices. I noticed that with my grandchildren when I was there with them last week. The teenagers, so much now, all their communication is texting. And my daughter-in-law was saying there's sometimes they're in the same room and they're texting. And I said, yeah, that's kind of weird. You know, I mean, in my generation, quote unquote, just, you know, a couple years back, we actually had to talk on the phone, you know, instead of all of that. But it has its place. I'm not saying it doesn't have its place for communication, but there is something about knowing the voice of the Lord, and that comes by talking, not texting Jesus.
Right.
Last time I heard, he does not text back. Is that correct?
True.
All right. Therefore, the talking is so important. Nan, you want to comment on the relationship there?
Well, yeah, I know for myself, I have spent some time recently doing certain things for 30 days kind of thing.
Right,
kind of,
and that's a cool thing.
As the Lord has led me in what to do. And I have found that in that time period, some of the things of 30 days has already come and gone, but now it's habit.
Right.
Sometimes I'm still in the midst of some of the 30-day counts.
Right.
I am learning him.
Yeah.
I'm getting closer to him. I am hearing him.
Right.
And he is hearing me. He's
right.
always heard me, but I'm talking more to him now than I ever have before.
Exactly.
I love going to church, but I'm receiving a lot from him by the time I'm spending outside the church.
Exactly.
Doing those things that he's leading me to do. And that is building the relationship. Okay, it's like if you had a young man that you got to see at church, a teenager, let's do teenager, see at church, and that's about the only time you get to see him. You really don't get to know them very much. But
right.
if you start getting together with them during the week, you go out
right.
to dinner, you go
exactly.
to the park, you go to a theme park or whatever, then you're spending time with them and you're building a relationship
right.
with that young man,
right.
that young lady, you know, the two of them together, building a relationship
right.
as friends or whatever that might be. But it's because they're spending more time together.
Exactly.
And that's what I find is happening in my life right now.
And it's vitally important to spend that quality time. It really is. And I think we miss that so easily because we get caught up in all of the stuff going on in our lives on a daily basis that we don't take time. Take time. We have it. We don't take it. And sit down and say, God, I need to talk to you right now. And, you know, one thing we're doing around Beacon a lot right now, Alice is talking about journaling. Do you want to talk about that a minute?
Wow, journaling. I'll tell you what.
You might want to explain what that even is, you know?
Journaling is basically, it's different for everybody. It's, you know, writing down your thoughts or your communication, basically. For me, it's writing a letter to God.
Okay.
I usually start my journal, Dear God.
Do you?
I do.
That's cool.
And it's a letter. It's
right.
Yeah, it's a letter from me to him, and I'm basically saying, you know, it usually starts out very superficial.
Okay.
You know, stuff that he already knows, but it's like I've got to put down, you know, God, it was a great day today, you know.
Kind of like a diary.
Diary type thing, yeah. You know. And then it starts getting deeper. As
right.
I start addressing things that I that have happened throughout the day,
right.
It gives me an opportunity to pose questions, to voice my frustrations.
Sure.
And really it really helps me to organize some of the thoughts that may be running through my head and I'm not realizing that they're there. There may be issues that come up that I didn't really pay attention to at the time when it happened.
Right.
But I can focus on it more, you know, in this letter. And sometimes it's a short letter, you know, a page. And sometimes I've been writing for a while and I've got 4 or 5 pages written, you know. And then
it's helpful. Isn't it?
It is very helpful. It helps get those thoughts out, and it helps you to communicate with God. And it's also something that you can go back
right.
later and you can look at it and say, okay, God, I asked for this and look, it happened.
Right.
You know? Or, you know, I asked for this, but I see now why it didn't happen.
Right.
You know, one thing that you had asked me to do, which is really cool. Well, I don't know if you asked or it was mentioned in Bible study.
It was mentioned in Bible study, but I do it all the time. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's basically writing down, starting your journal off with my child, my daughter, my son, whatever. I say unto you, as if you're speaking from God's point of view. And then you just write.
What he's
giving you. And I tell you what, some of the stuff that he has given me, it's always very encouraging.
Right.
Very uplifting, full of love and encouragement.
Amen.
And that's how I know it's God.
Exactly.
Because a lot of times when I'm doing this, I'm not in that loving and encouraging point. I'm beating myself up pretty bad.
Right. Yeah.
And through the journaling, through me writing, you know, my child, I say unto you, it's very loving and uplifting and encouraging. And there was the first time I did it, I remembered I called you and I said, look, what, you know, this is what God has said.
Right.
And I read it to you, and you're like, oh, that's great. And the next day, some big thing happened, and you were able to point me back to read that.
Exactly.
And that was it was what I needed in
exactly.
that moment. God gave me the day before the words that I would need to carry me through the next day.
Woo! Amen, because he knows what you're going to go through.
That's right.
So he prepares you and he gives you that encouraging word. And you would not have had that if you had not sat for a moment, got quiet, and allowed him to write right through your pen.
If I had not been obedient.
Exactly. And that may sound a little strange to some of our listening audience, but believe me, God wants to speak to you, just like he did here with Mary. He wants to speak to you. He wants to get to know you. He wants you to get to know him and his heart. Do you have a comment on that?
Well, it's something that Alice said, to get quiet, and
get
then
quiet?
We are obedient. And
oh.
I think sometimes we have so many distractions around.
Really?
You know, yeah, believe it or not. Like maybe texting too much.
Right, like maybe texting
well,
too much.
Well, you know, we're so stimulated in so
right,
many different
sure
ways
we are.
And so much is happening around us that, you know, it's like, I mean, I've been, you know, the past week or two, just like, okay, just stop.
Right.
Go. And the Lord had dealt with me, make an altar at your house. And my altar is sitting in my recliner.
Right.
But that's my altar.
That's fine.
And going and getting it, and just stopping down, shutting down, say, help me, Lord, that all the outside stuff that's happening right now, just
amen.
Stop.
Amen.
My time with you, it's my time with you, and I want
exactly.
to hear from you. And I won't just tell you what's happening with me, although he knows it. He still likes us to talk.
He
to
wants
about
us
it.
To talk because it's that relationship building. That's a huge point. Really good. Mm-hmm. And so it changes your life, doesn't it?
It does. yeah, it blew me away. And it's interesting that this little scenario and story came up because we were just talking about in Isaiah, you
right.
know, how God says, you know, you're going to go through these difficult times.
You're going to.
And know that, you know, I'm going to be with you. And this is proof. He knew I was going to go through this difficult time, and
right.
he provided the words ahead of time that I would need. Isn't that cool?
And it brings the strength that
yeah.
you need, the comfort that
yeah.
you need, the peace, the joy. This is real and tangible. You know, this relationship that Mary Magdalene had with Jesus was real. And so when he called her name, she immediately knew who he was. And that's what we want you all to understand today on Resurrection Sunday, that God loves you so very much that he wants to form that relationship with you, but it takes you getting involved.
Right.
You know, we sang that song that Michael W. Smith, I believe, wrote, this morning. You are the air I breathe. Mm-hmm. I'm desperate for you, Lord. Oh, wow, what a powerful song. And that's you as an individual crying out, God, I need you. I'm desperate for you.
I'm lost without you.
I need to, just like Mary Magdalene, just kind of standing there crying, like, where are you, Lord? What's going on? You know, and then he calls her name, and she's like, whoa, teacher, wow. Oh, we're going to talk more about this in the next hour. Can you believe an hour's gone already? We just love this so much. We welcome you to Beacon of Hope Ministries. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our services. Wednesday night is fantastically fun. It is quite interactive, wouldn't you say, girls?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, I do my best, and Pastor Jim does too, to get you all involved and participating in the Bible study and bring it down to the level of where it helps you, you know, learn how to live this Christian life.
One of the things that I really like about Wednesday night is because I want to say that you don't have an agenda, but that's not true. We have an idea of what we're going to be talking about, whatever, but you don't mind, as pastor, as the person that's teaching, you don't mind us saying, hey, wait a minute, I don't get it.
Right.
Can you explain that? Can you go back over that again?
Yeah.
And there's input from the other people that are there, other people asking questions or giving examples from their life about how this stuff applies. It's like I said, it's stuff you can just take home with you and stuff you can apply to your everyday life. And it's just so awesome. I love Wednesday night.
It's great.
Yeah.
7 o'clock, Beacon of Hope on 3700 Almerton. Nan, Sunday morning is just a great old service, isn't it?
Great old service.
Isn't it great? I mean, the power of God, the move of God in the music, like we were talking about earlier, is amazing. The preaching of the word, the ministry to people is just a powerful, powerful time. Sunday mornings at 10. So we welcome you to join us. If you're in the Tampa Bay area visiting, come and join us for service. We are growing. We are... we're full.
It's God's
all right.
Moving. It's
God's
great.
Moving and bringing in new people, and we're excited about that and expanding the ministry that God has given us. One of the ways we've been expanding for years now, 5 years to be exact, is by this radio ministry that's live every week on this Tan Talk radio station and also the other sister stations in some of the other states. And, of course, on the web at this time live. And then we have the ability now to have, you know, all these shows put on our website, which is great. If you miss a show, you can go to beaconofhopeministries.com in the middle of the night in your jammies, you know, or whatever. And be encouraged. If you're awake, turn on your laptop and get one of these shows and tell people about it. It'll help you. It's exciting. So that's good.
I've done that.
You've done that.
I've done that. I've done that even to hear shows I've heard before.
Yeah, to hear it again because of the word that comes forth. Absolutely. So that's what Beacon of Hope is all about. Next Sunday is hugely special to us. Got to ring my bell, Cedric. And it is our 5th anniversary for this radio show. 5 years next Sunday. And we will be celebrating it here with others of our radio team here. There you go.
There you go.
All right. And here I thought he was doing that applause for the Rays, who are doing pretty well. They were 3-0 a few minutes ago over the Yankees. That's a huge thing. But anyway, it's going to be a fun celebration next Sunday. You don't want to miss it. 5-year anniversary, show number 262 next week. Pretty cool.
Ooh, that's
so
a long time.
What do you think, Cedric? A 3-0 final.
That's
hey,
what it says.
Makes my day. They are now 3-0. All right, go Rays. That is cool. Station ID.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.
Little Rock, and right here in Tampa Bay. So there's a lot of you that listen, and we are welcoming you to join us every Sunday at 4 o'clock Tampa Bay time. Our internet address is pastor@beaconofhopeministries. It ends in IES.com. You can actually write us. We've got the email up right now. You can write us with a question, a comment if you like. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, live here in the studio today on Resurrection Sunday with my good friends and wonderful co-laborers in the ministry. ministry, Alice Mize to my left, and Nan Watson to my right. And so we are so glad to be here, aren't we, girls? We enjoy this.
I look forward to it. You know,
when you do
the schedule. And,
Yeah, quite a radio team now.
Yeah, the radio team. I make sure and mark up my calendar, and, you know, I look forward to it.
It's fun. It's fun. Really. Alice has had to, you've done 2 weeks in a row here.
With Nan.
Yeah, it kind of worked out that way. And so, but it's fun, isn't it? It's a joy to be able to share the word. And you can be a financial partner with Beacon of Hope Ministries, as some are, by going to our website. We have the ability through PayPal to receive donations. You can actually help support this radio show. That's what your money will go for, to support this radio show, especially if you designate it that way. It will definitely go that way. So go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. And if this is your church, and it is for a lot of people, there's a lot of people that don't have a regular church they go to, and this is your weekly ministry, then by all means, don't forget what God says about tithing and giving, and you are planting your finances in good soil when you give, because the word goes from Beacon of Hope over and over and over again, day after day, through our many ministries going on, which we're excited about. One of those ministries is the writing of music that has been so cool with not only Aaron Boone, but Nathan Burton. This next song is one that Nathan wrote in a service in 2007 in our Easter Resurrection Day service. He wrote it and played it as it came to him, as God gave it to him. He did it this morning at Beacon of Hope Live. This is the recording of that day.
Picture this. Jesus walking there among them, healing their sick, casting out demons, giving sight to the blind. Picture this. How he's feeding poor and hungry souls, answering their confusion, showing love, he's so kind. Picture this. How he's there with all the lonely. Picture this. Holding children there on his lap. Picture this. God's love walking among them. Picture this. Jesus reaching out to the forsaken. Picture this. Those who have been abused and been scorned. Picture this. Our loving Savior, to this he was born. Picture this. How he's touching those who're desperate. Picture this. Loving eyes, he would behold them. Picture this. How much our Savior cared as he on earth, he showed God's love and his sweet kindness to all, to everyone who would receive. His Father loved them, giving them whatever they could believe.
sitting on a donkey with her baby close beside her as they sang. Picture this. Laying down the palm branches, singing loud hosannas, behold our King. Picture this. They're so happy to see him. Picture this. They thought he brought another kingdom. Picture this. If you will, picture this. One week later, there he stands, his body broken and bruised. There he stands as they mock him, criticize him. There he is, our accused. Then they nailed him to a cross. As we look, what a loss. Picture this. As they're walking to the garden where he lay, dead and gone. Picture this, how the ground, the earth trembled as they rolled away the stone where our Savior once was laid. Picture this, as they looked inside the tomb, he isn't there, for he's arisen just as he said he would. Can you now picture this? Picture this. Now he's living deep inside you. Picture this. How he's walking here among you. Picture this. That he's healing the blind, healing the sick, casting out demons, setting us free. Picture this. How he sent us out in his name. Picture this. When we receive him, we're never the same. Picture this. His sweet love deep inside you. Picture this. Picture this. Can you picture this?
Mm. Praise God.
Wow.
Song moves me every time. He did it live this morning, and that was the original writing in 2007. Just I was there, and it was just came to him, and he just did it. There was no plan or anything. God gave it to him on the spot.
It's awesome.
Pastor, I'd like to say something to encourage the people who are listening. I heard the song this morning in service, and it blessed me. I listened to it again now on the radio with my eyes closed, and I could picture
it.
I could just picture
I did the same
that.
Thing.
And I'd like to encourage people who are listening now. We're at 5 minutes and 5 hour, one, five, 5:10. We're at 5:10 as far as time wise. I would encourage any of them to just go back to the radio program when it's posted on our website. Go to a little bit halfway mark if you don't have time to listen to the whole show, and listen to that song with your eyes closed and just speak before you even just minister to me, Lord.
Yes.
And he'll minister.
He did
right
to
there,
all
just,
three
just,
of us
you know,
right
I know,
here, right?
It was awesome. You know, anyway, I just want to encourage you people to do that.
It was amazing. And we love it. Nathan Burton. He'll be on the show here next week. So John chapter 20, we are still there. And go with us. We just talked about how Mary heard the voice of Jesus saying, Mary, and suddenly she knew it was him, and she responded. Jesus said to her in John chapter 20, verse 17? Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my father and your father, to my God and your God. Alice, what happened there? What was Jesus talking about?
Well, he was talking about that he was that he hadn't, he wasn't ascended yet.
He had not gone up to heaven yet.
He had not gone up to heaven yet. And the thing that really points out to me is that Jesus said, he said, go to my brothers and tell them. He didn't say, hey, go to my disciples.
Right.
He didn't say, hey, go to my friends. He
said, yeah.
Go to my brothers.
That's
my
a good
brothers.
Point.
He's putting you equal.
Yes.
He's putting them equal with him.
Yes.
As far as how God looks at them.
I thought that
was really cool. And then he says, I ascend to my father and your father.
My father
again,
and your
father. Putting
them
equal.
And
saying,
that's a great
my
insight.
God and
yeah.
your God.
Right.
Again, putting them equal. So three times, you think about it, Peter denied him three times.
Right.
Well, right here, three times, he has put Peter and the rest of the disciples
right.
on an equal plane with himself.
Woo, that's fantastic.
Isn't that cool?
Great insight. Thank
Ooh.
You for sharing that. Look at verse 18 of John 20. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. And this is what she said, and that's that first song we played for you earlier on this show, I've Just Seen Jesus. She said, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. And it doesn't tell us what they said or how they responded. And a week later now it's a week later, on verse 19. On the evening of that, no, I'm sorry, I'm thinking
day.
About the next time visit. It's the same day.
Same day.
It's mm-hmm. the same day. I'm thinking about the next visit. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, yeah, it is that same day for this first visit. So what do you think was going on, Nan, between the time that Jesus says, you know, let me go because I got to go to the Father. I got to. We know what he did. We know that he went to heaven and sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat.
Right.
And that he fulfilled the word that he was supposed to. He went to hell and released the captives there. And so, and took them to heaven. So it was amazing. He was busy during those 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. But Nan, don't you find this interesting that day, that was wild. This was probably 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, very early when all this happened with Mary Magdalene. And then that evening, he comes back. I mean, all day long. Can you imagine the discussions?
Yeah, they're probably sitting together in a room around a table or whatever saying, can you believe this? You know, Mary's saying she saw this. And you know there's going to be some people that go, I don't know, you know, that Mary, you know, I don't know about her.
Right.
Sure,
there's going to be skeptics.
Oh, yeah.
There always are skeptics in any crowd.
And then, you know, there's going to be others that are just like, wow, this is, you know, so awesome. I don't know if I can believe it. I want to believe it, but I don't
right.
know if I can, you know. And then there are going to be those that are going to believe immediately,
right.
you know. And I can just imagine the discussions and everyone, you know, because when we get exciting news,
yes.
you know, we call each other or
right.
text each other or
exactly.
whatever, you know. And we say, you know, oh, can you believe this happened? And, you know, look what God has done and, you know, that sort of thing. And we get excited for each other and
Absolutely.
With each other. And so I really think that that excitement was there. There's also that fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what's going on. So there's that fear is happening.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of mixed emotions happening there. But I can sense the excitement and the fear.
Absolutely. I agree. Do you want to add to that?
I agree. Basically, she said it.
She said it. All right.
You said it great, Alice.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine all the emotions that she's talking about?
Oh.
You know, I mean, did she really see him? You know, doubting. You
think some of them doubted?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean,
yeah.
Mary Magdalene, why would he come to her? Why wouldn't he come to me? I walked with him.
Right.
I was one
yes.
of his disciples.
Right.
Why didn't he, you know, I'm a leader. Whatever.
Right.
Know?
Yeah, that's a good point. On the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together, I am in verse what? 19. They were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, I find this fascinating. I love the way he moves right through walls in his spiritual body. Ooh, isn't that cool? I mean,
yeah.
He was not limited any longer by the physical body that he took on, you know.
Yeah.
Instead, now that limitation is gone.
He just appears.
He just appears, and he's right there, and he says, the first thing he says to the disciples, I love this, because I think this will preach, peace be with you. Yes. And really, that was the theme this morning at Beacon of Hope, that what Jesus did on the cross, and he willingly did, and came out of the tomb, a risen Lord, he did it to bring us peace and victory over the old junk in our lives. The risen Lord is there. This story is there so that we can arrive at that place of peace in our lives.
Right, right. And that's one thing that I find very, it helps me to discern whether, you know, God's speaking to me or whether it's myself, especially when I'm writing, you know, in my journal, you know. I have found that when there's a great sense of peace, that's God talking to me.
Absolutely.
You know? And the chaos and the turmoil and the, you know, the ucky stuff, that's not of God.
It's not of God. And when it comes through a person, too, when it's not just in your head, but when somebody is, like, criticizing and putting you down and tearing you up and abusing you, you know, that God does not do that. God is love. God is compassion. He is encouragement. You just said in one of the words that you had, God was encouraging you and strengthening you and giving you comfort and giving you peace. That's how we know it's from God. I totally agree with you.
Peace. peace be unto you.
Yes.
No, I'm just thinking one thing that the Lord had me doing was to look up all the scriptures of the word peace about a week and a half ago. That was an assignment from him, and to read it every day. Spend at least 15 minutes reading it every day, and you know it was pretty easy to pull together.
Right.
There's great
your concordance,
websites on websites on the internet that you can pull off and search for peace and block them all out and take them into word. But I mean peace, I mean it's been so powerful to read all these scriptures that have the word peace, and then if you want to expound, you can go to that location and read more about what was happening in the area where it was said, but it's just the word peace. It's just, that's what I thought of when we said, peace be unto you. It's peace.
That is really cool because that is the essence of what Jesus brings. Right. You know, back in Isaiah, when his birth was prophesied 700 or 800 years before he came to this earth as a baby, he was called there, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of peace, Eternal Father. Amazing to me. He was called the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, the Prince is the highest one. You know, hey, here's what he gives you. He gives you peace. And so when he comes in through the wall there without using the door, he says, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them what?
His hands inside. The evidence.
Why?
It's the evidence.
The evidence.
Yeah.
Showed him his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they, what?
Saw him.
When they saw him,
I love it. In the NIV, it says, where they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Here's what happens, guys. We go through life so often being beat down by the old junk, like I was talking about this morning at Beacon. We allow the old tapes to rule us and to control us, and we get stuck in a rut of the old ways of thinking and believing. And if somebody's been an abuser towards you, a lot of times, even though we don't want to believe what they're saying, it gets lodged down in there on the inside of us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it does damage to us.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And we've got to come to a point that we realize that our relationship with God and the way we should be living on a daily basis is about bringing peace. Everywhere we go.
Right.
Bringing peace into situations. Mm-hmm. Comment on that. Or are you?
It's to walk in peace.
Yes.
Like I said, since reading all these scriptures about peace.
What you've been
and
doing.
Peace,
it. Yes.
And peace and peace and peace. I mean, it really starts to take hold in your heart.
Right.
And you find yourself walking, desiring to walk more in peace.
Yes.
Not that you were walking, you know, in a bad way, but just not in peace.
Right.
You know, you were just kind of going along, you know, and the be able to walk in that peace that he can give. It's not anything that you could gain from the world or anything from yourself, but it is from him.
Absolutely.
And you know, he gives us a peace that passes all understanding.
And don't you think that the more we learn to walk in that, the more we desire to walk in that?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I know that I like a drama-free life.
A drama-free life.
Drama-free life.
All right. You don't like the drama,
no,
huh?
No, I thrive on
drama-free.
I
do, too. I love it.
And
I love it.
You know, those that know me know that there's been a turbulent situation recently that has just stirred up all kinds of drama in my life.
Right.
I don't claim that drama. That's not my drama. That's
right.
The enemy's drama.
And, right.
And I am doing everything that I can myself to not allow that drama to overtake me.
Exactly.
But I find the peace not in what I try to do for myself, mm-hmm. but in what how God ministers to
right.
me. Like today in the service, you know, I was one of the people, I think I was like the first one up there.
I think you were, yeah.
To get prayer because, you know, this is a battle that I know that I can't handle on my own.
Right.
And I know that any peace that's I'm going to get is going to come from God.
Yes.
And I really believe that He wants us to be at peace.
Absolutely.
He wants us to be, you know, just full of joy and hope and just that calm peacefulness. I don't know how else to describe it.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
That's His goal.
That's what He wants for us.
Yes.
So if there's other stuff in our life, if there's turbulence in our life, if there's stuff that's turning us upside down and inside
right.
out and all every which way, you know, then we need to really get with God on that and
yes.
ask Him to remove the source of it and just get it out of our lives.
Right.
There's no reason to go through life like
no.
that.
No, we need to be walking in this peace that mm-hmm. you're talking about.
I didn't have peace in a marriage. you know, we looked like the perfect couple in church, but people didn't know what was going on behind closed doors. And there was a drama. There was drama in our situation. And then
right.
We divorced, and then there was still drama
yeah.
When you have a child together and
sure.
to deal with things. But the peace from God
right.
has been very evident
right.
In coming through some of the stuff that should have been troubling.
Right.
It wasn't as so troubling because of God's peace and this ministering peace in the situation.
And that gives our listeners hope, mm-hmm. Nan. Because God can bring peace to your chaotic life. God can, He wants to, and He will. Listen to this song by New Song, The Same God.
Back to the wall, scared you fall, what you gonna do? Day and night, don't know why, it's like the world against you. You
He's with you now. That same God that did these miracles, that same God that walked this earth, He is with you now. I have never heard that song, and that is a great song, and it really fits into what we're talking about here in John 20. And if you just joined us here, we've already been on for almost an hour and a half, so you'll have to catch the rest of this show on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. The shows are usually up the next day or by Tuesday. Our webmaster gets them up after we have the show. Alice, you are excited about pointing out, we are on this phrase, peace be with you, that Jesus said to the disciples that very night of his resurrection, where he appeared to them in their little meeting, their prayer meeting, or whatever they were doing there. Do you want to comment on that?
About what we were talking about before?
The peace, yes.
We were talking earlier about how, you know, Peter had denied Christ three times.
Right.
And then when Jesus appeared to Mary, he put us humans, his disciples, on the same level as him. And three times he said, you know, go to my brothers,
right.
My father's and your father, my God and your God. Three times putting on the same level. And then I was looking here, and when he appeared that later that day, twice he said, peace to you.
Right.
And then the next time when he came back 8 days later, he said it again.
He said it again.
Three times. Peace to you.
Amen. So you're in verse, let's say 19 or 20?
Right.
19. Peace be with you, which we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And peace is that wonderful absence of all these other things,
right.
Fear and anxiety and all that, and peace is just resting there with him. And they were overjoyed. I'm in verse 20. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And now we're in verse 21, right?
Right, yes.
Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. So the second time he says that.
Right.
And he says, you know, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So we know the Father sent Jesus to this earth to show us what the Father was all about.
Right.
And to accomplish the will of God so that we would have a Savior. That is what resurrection is all about. Jesus had to go to the cross to take our sins and our sicknesses. It was prophesied in Isaiah 52 and 53 and other places in Psalms that Jesus would, that the Messiah would come, would bear the sins of all of us. He would be so beaten and scourged. We talked about that this morning, with 12 leather cords with a handle. And on the end of each of those was jagged bone and glass and metal. And these things cut into his flesh, and they gave him 39 lashes. So 468 stripes, if you can believe that. 468 stripes. His body was so beaten and so
torn.
Up. Yeah. For us.
Shredded.
Why? So we could have peace.
Right.
That's what it's about here. Because so that we could understand that the peace is available for us, so we don't have to be so beat up with our past and with the issues going on in our lives, that we could let those and realize that they're on Jesus on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the best ways to get your healing, dear listening audience, if you are physically ill today, is to realize that Jesus already took your sicknesses, your pains on his body on the cross. That's Isaiah 53. It's also 1 Peter 2:24. If you need a healing today, understand and visualize that on the cross of Calvary, Jesus took your pains, your emotional problems, your physical problems, your diseases, your sins in his body on the cross. That's 1 Peter 2:24. And by his stripes, those 468 stripes, we are healed. Wow.
Wow. You know, Alice pointed out that he said, peace be unto you three times. What came to my mind is, okay, the first two was at the same kind of setting. And then the third one was 8 days later.
8 days later. So, go ahead and talk about that 8 days later. What happened 8 days later? Verse 24, Jesus comes back and appears again 8 days later, the next Sunday. Why?
Because Thomas wasn't there.
Thomas wasn't there the first time, remember? And Thomas had doubted, right? Go ahead.
Okay.
And so he cares about even those. That's okay. That's all right. I know we don't have a script. We never know. Don't worry. You don't know the answers. That's fine. Thomas needed to be convinced also, because Thomas was one of the disciples that was going to be sent out as a missionary, which he was. And he had to know that Jesus was the risen Lord.
Right, right. And the other disciples had seen the scars on the hands and his side where he'd been pierced.
Right.
And they told Thomas about it.
Right.
And Thomas was like, you know, I got to see it myself. I got to see this. I got to see it to believe it type thing.
Exactly.
You know? So Jesus said, okay, here I am.
Right.
You know, he came back so that Thomas could see for himself, so that he could then carry the message on.
Well, what I was going to say was that the first two, why did he say it twice? There's times that he says things to us that maybe we don't really buy in totally to, are you sure you can give me peace in the midst of this hassle that I'm going through?
Right.
You know, I mean, he will. I mean, he can give you the peace. There again, peace that passes all understanding. It doesn't necessarily mean the situation is going to be removed at
right.
that moment.
Right.
God is working in it, and God wants us to have peace in the midst of what we're going through, and that
right.
we can have that peace. And I'm wondering if that's why, you know, the first time maybe some of them were like, I'm still scared to death because we didn't open the door and you're here.
You right. Know? Yeah. We didn't open the door and you just came right on through the wall. Yeah. Okay. Right. Exactly.
So just to minister peace.
Well, and there are times, you're right, Nan, good point, that God says, I understand you're having a hard time with this. All right, I'm going to tell you again. I'm going to tell you in a different way. Or I'm
right.
going to confirm this through something. You just found something in your Bible, Alice. It was a confirmation to you just now about something that happened to you a year ago. And so often, God will bring peace to us in our situations by those confirmations, or by something that we've marked in our Bible, or something we've written in our Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And here he cared about the fact that Thomas was like doubting this whole thing.
Right.
And that Thomas was one of those guys, prove it, prove it.
You know, it's really cool. He cared enough for one person.
Isn't that amazing?
He came back and visited them for one person.
Right.
You know, you hear all the time people saying, well, you know, it's just me. You know, I'm just me. I'm just one person. God's not going to do that because of me. Well, here's proof that he does do stuff just for one person.
Exactly. He is so amazing. If you think about the fact that God knows everything there is to know about you, and he knows everything there is to know about me and all the other billions of people around the world, he understands all that, and he can be working in all of our lives at the same time. And that is what makes him so amazing.
Mind-boggling.
Our minds can't even. Did you want to comment to that?
No, I was just thinking, comparing it to a gigantic computer. You know?
Go ahead. You would need a big server, wouldn't you?
A big server. But, I mean, how we can collect data, and data is kept on us or whatever, wherever, you know, that's nothing compared to how God's data bank works, to use such a term without being disrespectful.
Right. But it's true, because he is able to be everywhere at the same time. And I love that. Alice, he cared about the fact that Thomas was doubting. Mm-hmm. Thomas was having a hard time.
Right. And, yeah, just one guy, he came back to explain it. And, you know, I think that's amazing, because that tells me that when I'm confused and I don't understand what's going on, I know that God's going to take the time to make sure I get it.
Absolutely. Praise God. Whoa. So what does he say here? So he says, Alice, there it is again, peace. So why don't you start reading verse 26 there of John 20, Allison?
Okay, this is in the Message. It says, 8 days later, his disciples were again in the room. This time Thomas was with them. Jesus came through the locked doors, stood among them, and said, peace to you. Then he focused his attention on Thomas. Take your finger and examine my hands. Take your hand and stick it in my side. Don't be unbelieving. Believe. Thomas said, my master, my God. Jesus said, so you believe because you've seen with your own eyes. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing.
Oh, my. And let's go on. Read to the end of the chapter, because then I want you to comment on this, both of you.
Jesus provided far more God-revealing signs than are written down in this book. These are written down so you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and in the act of believing, have real and eternal life in the way he personally revealed it.
Oh, my. There's more that we don't even have in our Bible, all these signs. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And yet he's saying, you know, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed, you know?
Yeah.
How cool is that? I mean, God is reaching out to us and saying, you know what? You are so blessed. You have not actually seen the nail scars in the hand of Jesus, yet you believe that this is all true.
Right.
And what a blessing that he provides. Nan, do you have a comment to any of that? In your King James way?
In my King James way. Well, I mean, they're just, we haven't seen, but yet we believe.
Right.
I've had a conversation with someone who I used to spend a lot of time with, and they would ask me, how can you, you can't prove it, and you know, all this kind of
arguing
that goes on.
Skepticism, and
like,
yes.
I have faith, I believe. I said,
right.
You don't have faith, you don't believe. I mean,
right.
it's, you know, that's just the way it is.
Right.
But because of things I've seen and the things he speaks to me and the things I know and the things I see and sense, I believe because I know, because I feel him. We're not supposed to live by feelings. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You sense the Holy Spirit dealing with you, God talking to you. You know, like Alex was talking about when she's journaling and God's saying stuff through her to her journal to write down so that she can have at that time and as well as to later look back on it and
right.
just be really blessed by it. God gave that to her.
Absolutely. And when you have a relationship with the God, like we're talking about today, and you develop that like Mary Magdalene did with Jesus, mm-hmm. and you develop that and you talk to him. He lives, he risen Savior, and he lives. How do I know he lives? He lives within my heart,
right.
And you know that. Alice, comment on that.
Well, you know, I've said this so many times before. You know, the relationship with Jesus is so important. And, you know, you can't have a relationship or a friendship with somebody if you don't converse with them.
Absolutely.
You know, you see somebody on the street, you can't just assume they know what's going on with your life and will know how to be a friend to you.
Right.
Unless you've had at least one conversation with them.
Absolutely.
And even then, the more that you converse with someone, the deeper that relationship becomes, the more that a person understands you better, the more you understand that person better.
Right.
So it's the same thing with God. If you want a relationship with God, talk to him.
You got to talk to him.
If you're more comfortable writing, write him a letter, you know?
Well, this is very important because this is what this whole story really is about, because Jesus becomes our personal Lord and Savior.
Right. It's very personal.
It's very personal.
It's one-on-one. God wants you, not your family, your brothers and sisters. He wants you. He wants a relationship with you.
Absolutely.
And that's what's important.
I like your point about Thomas, that he took the time because he knew Thomas was going to be one of the missionaries that was sent out.
Right.
And it was so important that Thomas had that reaction, that relationship, that proof, if you will, you know. And from there flows all of us that have not seen it but yet believe. Right. Did you want to comment on that?
How can you tell by my look?
I have that quizzical
look.
Yeah.
But no, I was saying about how he can. Thomas was wanting to be able to see.
Right.
Okay. So now we can't see. We live by faith. One of the ways that I think that the Lord can help confirm things for us or see things for us is. Okay, the Word of God, obviously, is the Word of God, and that's what we lean to. But there's times in our lives that God will send someone along to us to minister or share with us that don't know what's going on in our life. But
Absolutely.
Yet it pinpoints it.
Yes.
And that's a confirmation.
Yes.
Like not necessarily we were doubting, but maybe we were doubting
mm-hmm.
a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And God will say, okay, I love you so enough I want to confirm this for you so
right.
that you really... You know, just like Thomas saw once
yeah.
Jesus came back. That's another way that God does with us is through mm-hmm. people.
Absolutely,
through
he
people.
Does.
You got to watch who you listen to, but through people, you know.
And you got to have your spiritual ears on enough so that you recognize when God is saying something to you, you go, oh, that is a confirmation.
And right. Nan hit it on the head. It's all about God's love for us.
Right.
He loves us so much that he will make sure that one person understands.
Right.
You know, he loves us so much. He wants to make sure we have that relationship
Absolutely.
With him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whoa. Listen to this song by New Song, Arise My Love.
From heaven, the stone was rolled away. And as dead men, the guards, they all stood there in fright as the power of love displayed its might.
And suddenly a melody filled the air, riding.
amazing song.
Wow.
Arise, my love. The grave no longer has its hold on Jesus. We celebrate this day, the resurrected Lord. We believe with all our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you shall be saved. It is a matter of confessing it with your mouth. It is a matter of believing it in your heart. Do you, dear listener, know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior today? Do you believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the form of a baby, that he took on a physical body and then ministered 3 years with his disciples and taught all the truth and taught everything and explained to them what was about to happen? And then he willingly went to the cross and allowed all of our sins, all of our sicknesses, all of our pains, all of our junk to be put on him so that we could indeed serve a risen Lord and walk free from some of that. Do you believe that? I mean, walk free from all of it if we choose to, right? Yeah. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. Search us, O God, and know our hearts, know our thoughts, know everything about us, God. Get in to us, God. We're desperate for you. That is the cry of our hearts. We're desperate for you. Let's talk to God right now. We are desperate for you, mighty God. We need you. We believe, Lord God, that Jesus Christ is your Son, the Son of the living God, that he came to this earth. We confess your Lordship. If you do not know that for sure, or if you have never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what better day than today to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Just declare right now with your mouth, Lord, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Just say it. Say it right where you are. I believe, Lord, that Jesus came to this earth, died on a cross for my sins, my sicknesses, my disease, my emotional stuff. I believe that Jesus took it all on his body on the cross. Just declare it out loud with your mouth. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And because I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he is a risen Lord, then I can walk in the peace that Jesus talked to his disciples about. Then I can walk every day as more than a conqueror. Then I can be guaranteed that when I pass out of this physical body, that I will go into eternity, into your arms, Jesus, to be in your presence for all eternity. If that is your prayer and that is what you believe, declare it right now to God and go to Romans 10, 9 and 10 and study it. And it says that if we confess and with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God raised Jesus from the dead, if we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, then we are his child. And John 3:16, oh, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you one of those whosoevers? I know I am. I know Alice and Nan are. Are you? Are you saved by the blood of the Lamb? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? That is our question. That is God's question to you today. Make a decision for God. If you need to talk to someone, you can call our crisis prayer line, 813-417. 3377. I'm going to give it to you again. 813-417-3377. You can email me directly, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Give me your phone number. I'll call you. I'll talk to you. I'll lead you in that prayer if you need to talk to somebody personally. Because the most important thing you can do on Resurrection Day is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior if you have not already done so. God bless you. We speak a blessing into your life right now. Whoa. Wow. What a show.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Nan, Alice?
I'm just so overwhelmed. I'm reminded again how much God loves me.
Yes.
Me personally.
Yes.
How much peace he has for me.
Yes.
It's so cool knowing that, yeah, I'm going to have hard times.
Right.
There's going to be stuff come up that I'm not going to be happy with. I may not know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, I have the reassurance today through the scriptures that we read.
Right.
That God is going to be with me through those times.
Amen.
That I am never going to be alone.
Amen.
Regardless of the situation, right. I am never alone.
Yes.
And to me right now, that is a very comforting and reassuring thought.
He's with you.
He's with me through it all.
When you pass through the waters, he's with you.
Yep.
When the rivers come, you're not going to go down in the river.
That's right.
Remember Isaiah 43 we read earlier. Why? Because he knows you by name. He's called mm-hmm. you by name. He knows you. He knows everything there is to know about you. And that is so reassuring.
Yeah, it is. It really
Ooh,
is.
Ooh, Nan, what do you have to say about all this? What a great show this has been.
This has been a fantastic show. It really is. So exciting
it's so
to be here on Easter.
The anointing is so strong.
The Resurrection Day and celebration.
Yes.
Just about the peace. Also about church attendance. That's kind of a...
There you go.
I managed somehow always to bring that in. It was because it's so important. But I wound up dealing, well, kind of the last two or three days of something in that, because that came up for me. And I walked in church this morning and was started crying.
Yeah.
And I hadn't been crying all
week.
You
were kind of beat up for a couple days, weren't you?
And I wanted to tell him later that wonderful DL in our congregation, he grabbed me and he hugged me and he talked to me. And it's like, I felt like I'd met God. God used him as loving arms at that moment, you know. Something that's come out, what we were speaking earlier, is just to be quiet and listen.
Yes.
And that's the parting thoughts I'd like to leave, is just be quiet, get in a nice quiet spot.
Right.
And just listen to God.
Right.
Talk to God. You can carry on a dialogue.
Amen.
And it's the most wonderful thing that I experience.
Develop that communication, that relationship, right?
Absolutely.
It's all about that.
It's all about that.
Very much so.
So does it change your life, Alice, the stuff we're talking about today?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it does. It
does?
Really does. You know, the stuff that we're talking about is, like I've said before, it's stuff you can take home.
Amen.
It's stuff that, you know, you can go through tomorrow, Monday morning.
Right.
Knowing that God is with you.
Amen.
God is with you when you're in that traffic that
yes.
drives you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
He's with you.
Amen.
You know, and he's helping you through those difficult
right.
times.
Absolutely.
You know, he's with you in that meeting.
Right.
When that one person in the office that just drives you absolutely insane
right.
is doing whatever it is they're doing that drives you absolutely insane, God's with you.
He's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we draw on his peace
right.
during those moments, those
peace.
Difficult times in our lives.
He's with you when you're going on that job interview
right.
and you're scared and you're nervous because you really need this job. He's with you.
Absolutely.
So
no
you can get your peace
you're
and your confidence through him.
Amen. Woo!
Peace.
Peace. That's
peace
what it's
be
all
unto
about.
You. That's what the word said.
And that's what he
you.
Said, right?
Yep, that's what he said.
Oh, wow. This is what it's all about. Let's boil it all down, which we try to do on this show, to practical everyday living so that you can actually learn these concepts and put them into practice in your daily life. And so we said earlier, I'll say it again, you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Listen to, we've got a couple years of shows on there. And this show will be up there in a couple days. And you can listen again and get it down on the inside of you. And we thank God for that technological ability to do that now. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, again, we welcome you to our services Sunday morning at 10, Wednesday night at 7 at Beacon of Hope. Wednesday night at 6:15 for prayer meeting. Everybody's welcome. We have great time, fun. Come and be a part of the family. Come and be a part of the family of God in our little location. And we may be small, but we're mighty.
Mm-hmm.
And God is doing wonderful things and teaching us his word. And it's always a joy to be with you every Sunday. Tell a friend about Living the Good Life. That's the name of this show. Next Sunday is great. It's our year anniversary for this show. Cedric is trying to find the applause. There's applesauce. There it is. 5 years on Tan Talk 1340. And we are glad, and we love Dave and Lola and this whole gang around here, Bill and Cedric and the whole gang. We love them all, and we appreciate this opportunity to be on the air. So next week, we're going to celebrate, and you can write in a note of congratulations or something if you like next week. Pastor at BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. Send chocolate.
Yeah, that's always
Send
good.
Chocolate. I like that idea. God bless you. God bless you. Remember, God loves you. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister with Nan and with Alice on this radio show. God bless you. Have a great week, and catch us again next week at 4 o'clock for our 5-year anniversary. You got to be a part of that. It's not far to Jesus. Have a good week. God loves you, and we love you.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.